In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, the fans. Get our heads right on a Tuesday. Great to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. That is back from his Bavarian bachelor party. Not his, but a buddy's. The great Paul Reindel, executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
How was your Bavarian bachelor party?
Very Bavarian.
Was it so Bavarian?
I mean,
just Bavarian cream everywhere?
Bavarian in the sense that we drink a lot of beer and...
Give me more of that Bavarian cream. Just eating it with a spoon on the river. I want to get some stories from your weekend, but let me introduce the big guy here. Your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning, everybody. Polly, good to have you back. Good to see
good
you.
Good to be back.
You don't look that like extra tan, even though you're out maybe a little bit.
The weather looked nice.
Yeah, it was about 80.
I guess Washington isn't where you necessarily go to get tan. But
no.
Many call it the tropics of the Pacific Northwest.
Saturday, it was hot.
It looks sunny in your picture.
That was the river floats, and then
how was that? So
it was
fun.
It was amazing.
Floating a river is pretty badass. It really is.
I've
done it. It's huge in Texas. It's like an Olympic sport in Texas. River floating.
It was like 2 hours, little over 2 hours.
It's a blast,
and dude. We just were pounding drinks,
pounding Coors Lights out there, two at a time.
White claws.
Yeah, it's so fun, man.
Get a little rapid. You're like, hey, how we doing?
The best part is securing the. 14 cases of Coors Light to the inner tube.
Yeah.
And then you can push it over to your buddies. They grab one, pop one.
We had the party tube.
It's
just
so
kind of floating around. Yeah, we had a good time.
That's good.
We went back to the house, had lunch, drinks more.
Yeah.
We played a 7-on-7 wiffle ball game in the big yard, which was pretty dope.
That's so fun.
But we stayed out there. We played a 9-inning game. Should have been about 4 innings.
Cause yeah.
By the 7th inning, we're all just getting drained by the sun.
Oh, just toasty.
We've been drinking.
Yeah.
Guys are fading.
So good. I love that idea. It's I think by bachelor party standards, it's a pretty tame one. Yeah, fairly.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a nightlife out there.
That's crazy.
There's two or three blocks of the city.
What's the city again?
Leavenworth.
Leavenworth.
And it's tucked away at the you are. Surrounded by the mountains.
That's beautiful.
You are right in the middle of the Cascade Mountains, and we're just sitting there, and I'm like, I bet this place looks insane in the wintertime.
Yeah, I bet it does.
And I've seen pictures. I know people that have gone out there. I've never gone out there during the snow. But yeah, no, it was great. There was plenty of bars to go to at night, and we had a good time. It was good to see everybody. I've known the Bachelor. I've known him since kindergarten.
That's incredible, man.
And we stay in touch. So it was good to see all the guys. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. The craziest part of maybe the whole weekend was flying home yesterday, 5:45 a.m. flight out of Seattle. And, it's about 6 o'clock. We had just pushed back, getting ready to take off. And I got my headphones on, and they're doing the, if you're sitting in an exit row, they're doing their whole spiel. I haven't listened to one of those in 20 years.
Right.
I got the headphones on. I'm trying to kind of fall asleep. And all of a sudden, flight attendant is going like this. And I'm like, yeah, hi. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. She's like, no. She's like waving at me. And I'm like, what the hell? So I take my headphones off. And she goes, Kyle's bachelor party, right? It was his fiance.
Shut up. No way.
And I just didn't. I didn't even look at their face. I just saw a person, like, you know,
waving at you,
saying, "Take your headphones off or put your phone in airplane mode or something."
Yeah. Did she interrogate you? If anything,
well, so how was it?
Happened? She goes, "I heard you guys had some fun."
You're like, "Oh God!" I was like,
"Oh my God, Mackenzie, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't even notice.
Did you know she was a flight attendant?
I did, but I was told she like pulled back to part time for the next couple months.
Wow.
And I had no idea it was with Alaska Airlines, and so I was just like, what are the odds?
That's so random.
Yeah, it was great.
That's so
she goes,
random.
"Hey, drinks on me this morning."
You're like, "Please, no."
I was like, I'm good.
I need to give me an apple juice and also a Coke and also a water and a coffee there. God bless. Well, I'm glad you're back. Glad you're back safely. You didn't miss much yesterday, the day before. We had Bald Rindel, what, 2 days?
We had Bald Rindel Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, he
we
was
had
fine.
Italian Pole yesterday.
He was
we
good.
Had Jackson Merrill like game winning plays every single day.
I followed
pretty much
along
while you were gone.
Pretty fun weekend. I know you guys had the Sunday loss.
Yeah, we had the Sunday loss,
which
was fine.
We didn't care.
We really didn't care. The Rally Roach is alive and well. Mwah, Benny. And then I went this morning to the gas station to get some gas. I had 2 miles left in my car. And so I pulled in the gas station here. And I opened my wallet, and look what was tucked in my... I'm going to hide my face with the actual fake roach and my address. But look.
Did you get pranked?
My
April
kids
Fools?
Put a roach. Not a real roach, but another... So I opened my wallet this morning to this roach tucked in my...
Did you jump?
I was like, ah! What in the... And I was like, sons of... Got me again. There's roaches everywhere. Right now, before we get started today, I wanted to, if he's up and listening, and I hope he is, my little guy Bo starts first grade today. Oh. We got a first grader on our hands, and he's a little bit nervous. We went yesterday and did the, it was kind of unofficial.
Preview day.
Yeah, but it was unofficial. Like, there were some teachers there, and we actually got to meet his teacher. Hannah went to high school with his teacher, so that's good. We looked at all the kids in his class. He knows several of them. But you go from the kinder area, which is over here, tucked
away.
There's
a jump from kindergarten to first grade.
Then you walk out to the... It's like walking out...
I'd agree. First to second grade, not much of a
jump.
Yeah,
no much. But
kindergarten to first
literally,
grade, there's a jump.
Kindergarten is separate. It's at the same facility, but it's separate. They got their own fence around it, their own little playground. Then you walk, it's like walking into the Coliseum. He was walking out, he goes...
There may be sixth graders out there.
There will be sixth graders.
There will be sixth graders.
And fifth graders, and fourth graders, and third graders, and second graders. So he's a little bit nervous about that.
Me too.
Yeah, so am I, as his dad. But I just told him, hey man, I watched you take a ground ball off the throat this summer and stay in the game. You're tough, dude. You got this. You can do this. So he's all dialed in for school. Lunch is made, and today is a big day. I wish I could be there, but, you know, listen, you take 5 days off for Hawaii. You probably need to sit this one out.
It's interesting because you have taken the first day of school off before.
I'm kind of upset about it, to be honest with you. I kind of am. But I can't just come here and do an hour and then split. I just can't do it. I was gone for so long. So it doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means daddy has to work. So kick some ass today. I know you will. But yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to make too big of a deal of it as well.
That's the other part. And I know I was last night.
Relaxes him a little more. Like, hey, there's nothing weird about this.
Yeah.
No reason to make it a national holiday. You're just going to school.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I just wanted to be there for him this morning. But, you know, listen, I leave so early. There's no way. But Jack's in the chat. I'll kill you. He goes, daddy wasn't there. Yeah.
Daddy wasn't there to take me to the fair.
This is how it started with Paul.
Oh, God, and me, actually. So I think that's probably why I'm so domed out by it. So as soon as I get the text later on in the show from Hannah, like, oh, I took him. I know what's coming. I took him.
He didn't want to go.
He was a little scared at first, but now he's much better. And by the time I left, he was playing with Grayson or Braden or Caden or Jaden or Bladen or any
seven
of
seven Jacksons.
The seven Jacksons in his school. Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. So Lefty says, Woods, get out of there. Family's always first. Don't miss it. Thank you, Lefty. I will. I'm going to take off. I love you guys. That's it. That's the open, and I'll be back tomorrow. No, man, he's a tough kid, so he'll be fine. But, yeah, it's wild, man. I looking back at old pictures last night, of course, weeping, thinking about his very, very first day of school. I believe that was the Mike Clevenger trade day is how I remember it. The first day of preschool, I believe, was the Mike Clevenger trade. And you guys called me.
2020, COVID short
end
season.
End of August.
Would have been late. Yeah, late in August when school started because it was the late trade deadline. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I'm driving in and I'm like, oh, my God, you guys, we got Mike Clevenger. That's how that went. But, yeah, man, obviously a huge, huge dub last night. The Grit Squad, though, is going to be the death of me. They're going to be the death of me, the Grit Squad. I told you yesterday, I tweeted it, I want the blowout squad to show up. I need, when a guy's sporting a 7.41 ERA, I'm going to need a 9-2 victory. I'm going to need it at some point.
So it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
It like doesn't
Mike
matter.
Schilt would tell you a win is a win. Every manager
I would tell
will
you the
say
same thing.
That.
Yes,
and they're right. But at the same time, and I was thinking about this as I was driving in. Managers want it both ways. They want to tell you that a win is a win, and it doesn't matter. But they also want to tell you that when you lose, but you play well and you fight, that does matter.
Right.
So it's does a win is a win and it doesn't matter, then a loss is a loss and it doesn't matter. But they never go with that. Well, yeah, I mean we lost, so we played terrible. No, they never say that. They'll highlight the positives of the loss, but they'll never talk about the negatives in a win.
No, it is true that there are these shades of a loss. There's losses where you go out and it's like,
and that's not just Mike Shield. That's pretty much every manager and coach. But they want to have it both ways.
Yeah.
A win is a win. You can't say anything bad because we won the game.
Yeah, we won the game.
But hey, if there were positives in a loss, there's definitely some good things to talk about in this loss.
100%. So the shades of gray as it pertains to a loss in sports are really fantastic, and there needs to be some sort of deep psychological dive into it. And I understand it. You have a team that you can't let turn into the Chicago White Sox and have 91 losses already in early August. You can't have that. And so I do understand that. But, hey, man, at the end of the day, that was another really, really nice win. It all counts as the same. It all counts as one win, whether you win by 10 runs or one run or whatever. But it was a really, really gutsy performance last night by quite a few guys that we will highlight today.
All right, we will get into it. It is a it should be a good show here on a Tuesday. We'll set the menu for you coming up. I will, of course, tease. Jesse Agler will join us, which means, Woods, we need to come up with song lyrics. You've missed the first 2 weeks of Jesse doing Song Lyrics Incorporator. So this is a big moment for you later today.
Excited.
When Jesse joins us, it is a usual West Coast slot of 8:35 this morning. We'll set the rest of the menu coming up.
I haven't talked to him in ages. I haven't talked to him in a month or something. So, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so we'll let you know what else is coming up on the show today. Obviously, lots of Padres talk after last night's 2-1 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's great to have Paulie back. All of us together for the just the second time in like 2 weeks here with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check traffic with Kelly Danick right now and then off and running on 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we've talked about this before. Do you guys have work nightmares?
Oh, God.
They're work or just general nightmares?
Like a week and a half ago.
I have them all the time. all the time.
I had a very specific TV anchor nightmare last night. It felt very real, though. And I don't usually remember, but I woke up and
in panic.
Just kind of in the panic of what it was. And you're going to laugh.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's something psychological about this one.
I'm going to break this down.
So I am
spent a lot of time in therapy. I got this.
I've got a television hit coming up, a sportscast at Channel 10, and I know it's about 5 minutes away. But I walk to the mirror to get ready, and I have bedhead, and I don't know how. My hair is just everywhere, and I can't get it to like hold down. I like try combing it, and it just pops back up, and I try putting water on it, and I'm just trying to get my hair to get back into place, and it won't do it. And I'm standing there, and I'm trying and trying, and it goes on so long, actually. I miss my hit, and my boss is mad at me.
Oh, my God. You miss your whole hit?
I miss my whole thing. I go, well, I couldn't get my hair.
What are you, Joe Davis?
Couldn't get my hair back in place.
I'm trying to get my hair fixed, boss. That I just can't see to get it down.
There were consequences and everything. And I go, but what can I do? I don't know how I got bedhead. I've been at work and then I showed up and
it's that picture of, you know, that picture of Will Myers that pops up on the internet every now and then. His hair's all high. Like,
exactly.
Looks like. <It's>,
what is that? So Jake says that's PTSD. From what?
I don't know.
From what?
It's never happened to me.
He's never done anything. Like, oh man, that's so good.
I mean, I rarely have hair out of place. It's
true.
It's not a problem for me.
Is it a vanity thing?
I don't think so.
Well, you're being vain in your dream. Well,
obviously.
You skipped your work hit. Well,
you can't just go out on TV with big bedhead all over the place.
Right,
that'll live forever.
Oh, this is good. Welsh Fryer just looked this up. It said mirror dreams, right? If you're looking at yourself in the mirror, symbolize self-reflection, facing truths, and unveiling hidden aspects of yourself. I like that.
I definitely have a lot of hidden aspects.
That's
probably
true.
Even to myself.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So. No, that's a weird work dream. Was that an actual nightmare? I guess missing the hit.
Bit. Yeah, the missing the hit
missing
was the panicky
the hit
feeling
the panic.
That you get. That's common in a lot of nightmares for me. It's that panicky feeling that I'm going to miss something. And I think part of it is being in two jobs. Rely on absolute precision on time.
Being on time
every single time.
Our whole lives, minutes and seconds.
It's crazy.
That's
definitely an obsession in my subconscious that comes out in the dreams a lot.
I've had the one that just makes me still sick, and I have it less now, but it's the one where I wake up and I go, oh my God, dude, you skipped your final and you didn't graduate, bro. I had to, when I lived in the first place I lived with Hannah, this condo, at 3 o'clock in the morning, ran down to the garage, ripped open the thing, and was like looking through boxes to get my diploma out to go, okay, this is real. I did graduate. I am a college graduate. It took me 8 years, but I did get this done. And like clutching it to my chest, going, okay, I did this. That, and I have that about once a year, that terrifying dream that I didn't graduate
Luckily
college.
Luckily you have it, because you'd be out on your
butt. Oh, I'd be out on my butt here.
Right, they check diplomas regularly just to make sure that you graduated.
Without that English degree with a 2.0 grade point average. Wow. Whew. College is important. It's very important.
So, fortunately, it wasn't, it was right at the end of my sleep. So I woke up like panicked, and then I looked at the alarm clock and like, oh, it's going off in 2 minutes. Great. All right, we're done. Okay, it's time to get up for the rest of the day. So that was my nightmare last night, and we'll try to move forward. Here's the menu for today's show, and it should be a good one. Obviously, we got our Padres wrap-up coming up. 2-1 win over the Pirates last night. We'll talk about Joe Musgrove's return to the mound. Obviously, a huge element to that game yesterday. And then leading all the way up to Jackson Merrill's game-saving catch in the top of the ninth inning with two outs. What an amazing play by the kid who continues to do something impressive almost every single day.
Hi, yeah. This is Jackson Merrill. Jackson.
If he doesn't do it with the bat, then he does it with the glove or he does it with his arm. I mean, it is truly a really complete baseball player. He can do it with his legs. I mean, Jackson Merrill can help you win ball games in a multitude of different ways. And again, I don't even know why I'm surprised. I don't know why I was surprised the ball found him last night. And I don't know that I was particularly surprised that he made that play. How was your heartbeat last night? Mine was pretty good. 2-0, 2-0 with Suarez coming in. We'll talk about that elite entrance that he had last night. And I felt pretty good about it, as I tend to have been doing lately.
I don't know. I was, for most of the game when it was 0-0, I was still like worried.
Were
like,
you? This I is, just didn't feel that much worry last
we're
night.
We're letting them stick around to steal one from us here that they shouldn't be stealing from us.
Well, we could talk about the approach last night when they. I knew it was moving quickly. I knew it was. But when in the sixth inning, Mud and Don threw up the Woodford's pitch count per inning, and he's averaging like 9-10 pitches an inning, I go, huh, something's off here. What is happening? The guy's got a 7.41 ERA. He's clearly pounding the zone. He's just getting a lot of pop-ups. I think he had like 10 fly ball outs. So guys were just getting under it, missing it. That is the... That's the most frustrating thing about baseball sometimes. If guys in the zone, you feel like you're seeing it well, and you just can't get barreled to it. So, yeah, listen, win's a win, 2-1, and we'll talk about all of it.
We'll have a game of Take on Woods, chance to qualify for our new trip to Las Vegas at Resorts World, and Carrie Underwood tickets coming up at 7:10. Don't do this, is at 7:20, and I will say Jackson Merrill's play of late has spun out the people who had already decided that Paul Skeens was going to win the Rookie of the Year award.
Well, it's also spun out the network that does everything they can to take a big, giant dump on the San Diego Padres at any and every opportunity. Never forget when the three of us sat in here, Paulie pointed up to this TV screen. He goes, can you believe this? And we all turned around and looked up. Teams that should rebuild by Brian Kenny. And the San Diego Padres were on it. The New York Mets were on it. These were teams that he said they just don't have it. They're not going to get it, and they need to rebuild. I'm so glad that A.J. Preller didn't say, you know what, Brian, you're probably right. Let's rebuild. Let's tear this thing down.
Oh, my
God, at this point.
14 games above .500 and playing some of the best baseball in
the Red Sox were another team.
Red Sox were on there.
They're in the hunt.
They're in the hunt. Yeah, they've slipped a little bit, but yeah, they're in the hunt.
Cardinals.
I think damn near every team. If somebody has that graphic, please send it to me, because I think damn near every team was like, hey, F you, pal, and then just started to run away with it. So if anybody has that graphic, please send my way. But yeah, man, I mean, it's the, you know, it does. It's why we've kind of avoided earlier in the season saying it's early, because we didn't want to put that out there, because it can't be the players' mentality, especially after last year. But it is a really shining example of, yeah, it was early. It was early. They figured it out. They promised they would get better as the season progressed, and they absolutely have. So I guess you got to take them at their word, Benny. They're doing everything they said they would do.
Now, it's still somewhat early in that it's hard to play this well for another 2 months,
no doubt,
you know, what it takes to go through the playoffs. So I would imagine there's still going to be some ups and downs.
Sure,
before we're done, I got
the Brian Kenny.
But you're building. You're building right now.
So who are the teams on the Brian Kenny must rebuild list?
It was the Boston Red Sox at 26-24, the Padres at 26-26, the Cardinals at 23-26, and the Mets at 21-28.
All right, so all of those teams are currently in a playoff spot or very much in a wild card race. The Red Sox are 2 games out of a playoff spot. Padres are 4 games up playoff spot. The Mets are 1 game out of a playoff spot. And the Cardinals are 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. Nice job, Brian.
Yeah, very well done.
Nice job identifying the rebuild teams for this season.
That network, man, and I watch it quite a bit throughout the day, and there's parts of it I like, parts of it I don't enjoy. But I think sometimes when they get a chance to take a shot at the little guy, they do it. You know, they do it with no fear at all, because they expect the worst to happen. And, you know, things have certainly changed around here the last few weeks, and it does feel good to be on the winning side of it, certainly, and finding a way to win ballgames. So let's get into No-No Joe and Java Joe and all the good stuff that happened last night.
Yeah, second half of the show, Jesse Agler has mentioned 8:35. Paulie will have a Rindle report. Good to have him back at 9 o'clock. And we've got some tickets to give away to Journey and Def Leppard coming Woo! To Petco Park. So stay tuned for your chance to win some concert tickets for the show on August 30th. Coming up pretty soon, we'll let you know how to do that. All ahead with Ben and Woods. But up next, our Padres wrap-up of last night's, yet again, one-run win for your San Diego Padres. Coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. What crowd last night. Obviously, they were giving away the Gwynn Henley, but it doesn't seem to matter. Huge crowds every night. Heard him talking on MLB radio this morning. Monday against the Pirates,
yeah.
45,000-plus people. That's like nuts. They don't even believe the kind of support that the San Diego Padres are getting. So good job Padres fans. Not only was it that many people, but it felt like a weekend, felt like a playoff atmosphere on a Monday night in the dog days of August against a team that had lost, I think, what, 7 in a row going into that game, and now 8 in a row, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Well done, San Diego. You're impressing everybody across the country with your passion for Padres baseball. And it ended up being a pretty good game. We will go through it here. A Padres wrap-up coming up. All the highlights with Jesse, and Tony was back last night as well. Coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God. I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Musgrove ahead of him, 0-2. Kiner Falefa at first, two away. Joe Long, pause at the belt, great at controlling the running game. And the pitch, swung on and missed, strike three. Got him to go up, that fastball that was out of the zone. And the first strikeout back for Joe Musgrove will end the top of the second inning. Here's the 2-1. And Rice smacks it in the air to left center field. Taylor, long run on the move, gets there and kind of falls over to make a nice running grab and end the inning. A 1-2-3 sixth for Jake Woodford, 1-2 to Reynolds. Estrada delivers, swing and a miss, strike three. Went back to the splitter and got it. Third strikeout of the inning for Jeremiah Estrada. No runs, a hit, and two left. 3-1, here's the pitch. Xander swings, pokes it the other way, through into right field, and a base hit. Profar trots in to score, and Xander gets it done. It's 1-0.
Professional hitting at its finest. The Pirates crack the door, and Xander Bogaerts kicks it open.
1-0. San Diego in the eighth inning. 2-2. Here's the pitch. Higashioka swings, sends it in the air to left field. Pretty well struck. Reynolds is back. About a step and a half in front of the fence, he makes the catch. Both runners will tag. Johnson will score. Kim to third. Sack fly Higashioka. And a 2-0 Padre lead.
Again, executing at a very high level.
De La Cruz at second. 2-2 the count. Here's the pitch. McCutchen swings, hits it sharply off the glove of Cronenworth. It'll trickle out into right field. De La Cruz rounding third will come in and score. And it's 2-1. We have two outs here in the top of the ninth inning. Now the 3-1. Reynolds swings, hits it in the air towards right center. Merrill on the move, dives, reaches down, and he made the catch. How about a hang a star to end a game? Jackson Merrill did it all week with the bat, and tonight with the glove, he ends the game. There will be no challenge, and the Padres beat the Pirates again. Final score of 2-1.
What a terrific closeout play by none other than Jackson Merrill.
He got a good beat on it immediately. He came off the bat, and you know, clearly it's getting in some space. But you know, had a really good view actually, and he got a great beat on it. You could tell his jump was great, his route was great, and there's no question about his determination and his ability to catch it. So it was a, you know, as they would say, hang a gold star on it.
I will admit that when that ball was in the air, my first instinct was, play it on a bounce, be safe, don't let the runner from first score. I thought that's got to be your first priority there as a center fielder. You can't let that ball get past you, because if it does, the Pirates tie the game. If you play it on a hop a little more carefully, all right, they'll probably have first and third, but you got Suarez with one more chance to get out of that inning. Shows what I know.
That's why you're here.
And Jackson Merrill is there. And what Jackson had to say after the game from the UT, said, I was lined up pretty far on the left side, and it was layout or nothing. In that situation, I don't think there's a way I can field that and throw it in. I think I have to go get it, try to catch it. It was one of those blackout adrenaline moments that happens.
It was amazing. It was an amazing catch. We spent about 30 minutes in here looking for the catch probability. And I will say I'm a little surprised by the results of what you found, Ben. What was the percentage?
64%.
See, that blows my mind.
Better than 50-50 because he was going to catch that ball.
When Brian Reynolds hit it, I went, oh. And then I saw this young 21-year-old gazelle, you know, sliding over and making that play. Game over. Beats you in so many different ways, does Jackson Merrill. And really, the San Diego Padres find a way to beat you with some unsung heroes last night, like Donovan Solano. And not his bat, his glove. Kevin Acey wrote a little blurb in his newsletter about Solano and how he's been working with Manny. He says, I talk a lot with Manny. I say, teach me. You're the ministro. What do I need to do? And he gave me a lot of advice about moving and throws. He helps me a lot. He sees me make plays in practice. I stop and throw. He says, no, don't do that. Use your momentum, catch it, try to find a way to throw it. So he did that. He did that in a couple really nice plays last night from Donovan Solano. And just guys stepping up. Kyle Higashioka. Bryce freaking Johnson. How about that move from the skipper, Mike Schilt? They bring in the lefty, and they're like, all right, now pinch hitting Bryce Johnson. You're like, Bryce Johnson, really? Okay. Rips one down the line, and next thing you know, Higgy drives him in. Almost.
You might think I'm nuts.
I kind of did a little bit, but I'm glad it worked out. And Bryce Johnson started that rally that got us the winning run.
So, and you pointed out that Solano was at third base. You know, Padres won that game, and while it was 2-1 and it was tense, they were able to get Manny a day off. First time in 50 games, I think that Manny got a full day off. So, and it's kind of, when you look at how the schedule plays out, I thought that was very strategic of Mike Schilt. So they had the East Coast game on Sunday, which ended around, 1 o'clock San Diego time. So that's now going to be about 54 hours between games for Manny. So, you know, that's 2 full days plus between games. And then with an off day on a day game on Wednesday and an off game on Thursday, he'll have another 2 full plus days between games, 48 hours plus between games. So that really gives Manny a nice breather this week as the Padres head into the home stretch. And beginning Friday, of course, they've got 18 games in 18 days, and they'll probably need Manny for all of those. So they were not only able to get the win, they were able to do it while giving their, you know, number one player a day off that was probably overdue with how much he's been playing lately. After, you know, early in the season, when he'd take a day off every, you know, third or fourth day, or take a DH day, has not been happening. He's been out on the field every single day, batting cleanup for the Padres pretty much every single day. And it was good to be able to get Manny a day off and not have it cost you a win.
Cole Schmidt in the chat, he also got Orsillo'd last night, because I got Orsillo'd as
Jesse
well.
Jesse did not. I hadn't heard that until this morning.
I was also listening for that, because Orsillo got me with Higgy, and I thought that was a second tank. Like, I thought that was, that
I thought
was
when it
deep
hit,
into
I
the night.
I thought when he hit it, I saw just a little bit off the end, toward the end of the bat, and I thought, I don't think this is going to have enough, even though Don got very excited. I mean,
I never want to quell Don Orsillo's excitement ever.
And
Kyle
Higashioka pulling the ball has been pretty much a home run every single time when he gets it in the air. But something about that one goes, I don't know. I know it was at least a sacrifice fly, though, which is all you're really looking for in that situation. One more insurance run, you feel really good about Robert Suarez in the ninth inning. And while he did give up a run, it only scored because of the defensive indifference. He wouldn't have been on second base if they hadn't let the guy go to second.
Well, and that play that...
And Jake could have made that play.
It was
a tough one.
Yeah.
But, you know, Jake makes that play at least half the time. So I don't think that was a huge concern for Robert Suarez there in the ninth inning. Got his 26th save there.
That's been incredible, man. Just been incredible. And let's talk about Joe Musgrove, right? That the most nerves I had about last night's game was, how is Joe going to do? You know, the adrenaline is through the roof, wants to be back with his team, wants to be contributing to this incredible season. And yeah, you're obviously a nervous wreck about it. You just don't know what he's got. I thought the velo looked good. I thought the slider was sharp at times. I thought, there was probably a couple that he hung. But man, I think that's pretty normal after coming back and not having a lot of innings under your belt at all, but really seemed to have a good feel for a lot of his pitches, had some big Ks and big moments, and I was really impressed with Joe Musgrove, and hopefully he wakes up today and feels fantastic and is ready to build on that in the next start, but he looked great. He looked great to me.
Yeah, efficient. Only one strikeout, yep. And but, you know, it's not. I don't think that's a reason for concern. What you didn't see was the new sweeper that he had developed in spring training this year in the offseason during training. And another report here from Kevin Acey in the UT is that his bone spur, which he's had for a while in his right elbow, became symptomatic, and Joe believes that happened when he started throwing the sweeper. So sounds like he's going to put that pitch on the shelf,
yep,
for his health to see if he... because he wants to avoid surgery. A lot of guys pitch with bone spurs in their careers, and it's okay. Joe says, though, it's his understanding that 20 to 25% of pitchers who have bone surgery on their bone spurs end up having to get Tommy John surgery. So he doesn't want to increase the chances later that he's going to need Tommy John surgery by getting the bone spur surgery first. So he's going to try to pitch through it and hopefully maybe taking away the sweeper. He changed some mechanics. That was talked about, you know, before the game yesterday as well, to try to relieve some of the pressure on his elbow, get more of his lower body into it. Whatever he did, looked good. Looked good. Velo was good, as you said, and seemed like the spin rates were good above where they were earlier in the season.
Yeah, certainly, you know, going to be a guy down the stretch that this team needs. Xander Bogart says, yeah, man, we don't get to where we're going without having Joe Musgrove doing what he's doing. So I think last night, obviously, adrenaline can mask a lot of things. You see it all the time. Guy gets drilled, you know, by a comebacker in the leg, and he's like, I'm fine, I'm pitching. And then the next day, hell, I mean, he gets through the game. It happened to Michael King, you know, and it's just one of those things. It can get you through the game. But what he feels like this morning when he wakes up, I think, is the most important thing. And I'm sure the very first text that our skipper, Mike Schilt, will send this morning, the very first one, is to Joe Musgrove. Hey, bud. How you feeling? It's the very first text he's going to send, because that's the most important thing, getting him back. And then, yeah, man, you go have another one like that and then another one like that. And, you know, next thing you know, you're feeling built up a little bit. So very encouraged by that last night.
Our friend Jeff in the chat says, if you're not a Padres fan, you want to know how much we care about our team, go watch the ovation Joe Musgrove got both coming out for the first pitch and coming off the mound after 4 1/3 innings. We love Joe. I thought, especially when he came out of the game, one of the nicest moments of the season to see Joe get that love, not just from the fans, but his teammates as well, how they all came to the mound to give him a pat on the butt as Mike Schilt took him out, and then in the dugout, all the high fives that he got. I think I heard a curse on the television as well.
Oh, did you?
An F yeah. In the dugout.
Love it.
For Joe as he came in, but it was all in good spirit as that team just glad to have their kind of emotional leader back.
Sure, no question, man. The more guys like that you can have on your squad that are gamers like Joe is, the better. The better you're going to be going down the stretch. These are how many games left? 42?
42 games.
42 games left. Yeah, man. Being able to run him out there every fifth day is a huge lift for this team. Huge. And again, credit to the bullpen last night. Brian Hoeing, man, I am hoeing around. I love that guy. He has been great. Everybody
up to what, like 7 2/3 shutout innings with the San Diego Padres, and I think that he was an important part of that trade.
A mass, like just such a throw-in type guy. Where you're like, oh, we also got this guy, and Skip texted
don't say,
me.
Don't say that.
What
throw-in?
Why?
I was listening to Gwynn and Chris yesterday.
Yeah,
and they had Brian Hoeing on last Friday.
Yeah.
And Matt Scraby, fortunately, Chris stopped him. He was going to ask Brian Hoeing, how does it feel to be the throw-in?
Oh, I would never ask him
in
that.
A trade. I know
you
would
ask him that.
But I think he's more than a throw-in.
Well, I do, too.
I think the reason the price was what it was wasn't just to get Tanner Scott. It
right.
was because they also wanted Brian Hoeing, and he's got control. They'll have Brian Hoeing in their bullpen, I believe, for the next two seasons.
Well,
almost as valuable as 2 months of an elite
no doubt
closer arm in Tanner Scott.
What I'd never heard of him. When we made that trade, I had never heard of him. So I went to my source and I texted his manager and said, "Tell me about. I know what Tanner Scott does. What is Brian Hoeing?" He goes, "Yeah." And I sent you guys the screenshot. He's like, "Oh, he can spot start. He can come in. He can eat innings. He's a dog. He's ready to go. Great." Okay, perfect. But
your source said that.
My source, yes. Yeah. Skip Schumacher said that. The guy that he played
How
for.
How do you know Skip Schumacher, manager of the Marlins?
So, you're being so coy.
No, I was. I said it. I said Skip.
Oh, you said Skip? Okay, I just heard your source.
So, no, he's been great so far, man. It's such a valuable piece to have, is that guy that can do that.
Good bounce back from Estrada. Gave up a hit, but three strikeouts and, you know, get that swing and miss that's so critical for Jeremiah Estrada as well. So the bullpen continues to perform. Now, they've been performing a lot, and they expected it last night, obviously, with Joe, you know, being on that pitch count. I think he ended up at 63, 4 1/3. Couldn't have hoped for anything more than that. No runs, four and a third innings. That was like dream outcome.
The dream scenario. Schilt,
but that still left him with, you know, 4 2/3 more innings to cover with a bullpen that has had to work a lot.
My heart, once Joe came out, it was like, all right, first box checked. And then when I saw it was Estrada, I went, I like this move. Because you want to get that guy's confidence back to where it needs to be, because he's nasty.
And then I was expecting maybe to see Eddie Romero at home, but he had the flu and was unavailable last night. No guarantee he's going to be back today. Jason Adam had pitched 3 of the previous 4 days, so they were trying to stay away from him. And
Tanner Scott looked nasty, dude.
But he's now pitched for 4 times in 6 days. Now, Robert Suarez has pitched. Michael King, you know, he's not necessarily been the most efficient guy, and they've certainly not been pushing him on innings because they want to save him, but you also would love to see him go a little deeper into the game today just because they've used, or better yet, just score like 12 runs.
Score some runs
and
for
then
the love of
just
God.
Just score like 12 runs, and then you can put in whoever at the end of the game for the last 3 innings.
Yes.
That would be the ideal outcome today.
We need one of those, man. We need one. Not just for our mental health and our blood pressure and our, you know, heart attack potential. It's for resetting the bullpen, getting guys some breathers, man.
All right, we'll continue. More Padres talk coming up. Got an update yesterday on one Yu Darvish. Joe back. What about Yu Darvish?
I'm a little bummed. If he needed innings, I can get innings for Yu Darvish.
We'll let you know and play some Take on Woods coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.